All right, the fight to flourish. In this four-week journey, I just believe that God has such a deep work for each one of us. And I want to encourage you to commit to showing up for these next 4 weeks and to lean in and to keep showing up and invite friends to watch and be a part of it. But there's a verse in Psalm 139 that I just want to pray over you. Before that, though, I just want to say we're going to be posing some questions today that we'll be answering throughout the series. So some of those questions are, why do I need to fight to flourish? What's up with the fighting and the flourishing? How can I grow when I don't feel like I'm growing? How can I flourish when I feel like I'm failing most of the time? How can I thrive in the middle of the struggle? And so these are some of these questions that we're just going to kind of let sit for a little bit. And we'll answer some things today, but throughout the series, I'm excited to address some of these things. But overall, my hope for you in all of this is that you would be open, that you would open your heart to God, and that, you know, that we would pull, okay? Psalm 139, 23, 24 says, God, I invite your searching gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there is any path of pain I'm walking on, and lead me back to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that brings me to you. And so my prayer is that we would lean in and receive all that God has for us and just open up our hearts to him. And this message is the flourishing life you were born to fight for. The flourishing life you were born to fight for. So let's start here. Flourishing can be so unrelatable at times. I know for me, I see the word flourish, and it's a flowery word, but I feel like it's so far away from me. And I feel like, especially when we feel like we're failing, when I feel like I'm failing, I feel like I'm not, surely I'm not flourishing right now because of the struggle that I'm in, because of the fight that I'm fighting. But the problem, I think, is that we're living in a wrong definition of what it means to flourish. We don't feel like we're flourishing because of the struggle, because of the fight, because of the mess that we're in. Life is messy and it hurts, but that's the point. Because flourishing requires dirt, and dirt is not clean. Dirt is messy, but actually, seemingly unnecessary dirt is the rich soil that we need to grow. And your life right now contains everything it needs to thrive. It's actually the struggle and the fight that we need in order to flourish. True transformation comes not in spite of your struggle, but because of them. They are the very ingredients that God loves to use, and you don't have to have it all together for God to work in you. He just wants you. And that is the truth of the matter. God wants your heart. He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to run to him. He wants you to call out to him in your pain. He wants you to call out to him in your heartache and in your joys and in your mess. He just wants you. And here's the thing. When we first give our lives to Christ, we surrender to him. That's called justification. And that's basically saying, Jesus, I believe in what you did for me on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and you give me this power. But then there's sanctification. And sanctification is where the struggle really is. This process, the initial, God, I receive your free gift of salvation. I surrender my life to you, and it's beautiful, and it's a moment of true surrender to Jesus, to the Lord, to who he is and what he has for you. But then there's sanctification. And basically, this is just a fancy word that means the process from when you give your life to Jesus to when you see him face to face. And it's this whole process, and it's messy. And the struggle is real within sanctification. Because we believe in Jesus, and we have the hope of heaven that one day we're going to be with him. And we have purpose in our pain, and we have love and life and abundant life that Jesus said. He said, I have come so that you may have an abundant life, a flourishing life. But then we still have our sin. We still have our flesh. We still have our shame. We still have our guilt. We still have our struggle and all the things that we deal with, the heartache and just life. But the truth is that this is where we're growing. This is where we're flourishing. And I love how, I don't know if you're there's this show called Next Fashion, and this Next Fashion show had this episode where they said your struggle is your magic. And I love that, because when you struggle, when you're going through hard stuff, when you're faced with difficulty and challenges, that's where magic can come out. If we truly lean into what God has for us and lean into the pain and let God do the work deep, deep, deep in our hearts. Imagine a seed like we did last week. First of all, a little tiny, brown, insignificant, kind of ugly little thing. And imagine what it is meant to be. The tree, the plant, the flower that it's meant to become. Everything that it's meant to become is in that tiny seed. And it just needs to be put in the soil. But imagine the seed surprise when it's put in the soil, and it's like, wait, it's dark. What's happening? Is there any hope for me? What does my future hold? But little does that little seed know that there's going to be a little sprout that comes out of it. And from there, roots that start to go down deep. And the sprout comes up and pokes through the ground and becomes the plant, and then becomes the bloom. And becomes the fruit. And everything that the struggle of that little seed to poke through the earth and to become what it's meant to be is all part of the flourishing. I think we think so much that, oh, the flourishing is the bloom and what it looks like for all to see. But the flourishing is the roots that go down deep. The struggle, flourishing is not easy. It's hard. It's not easy. But God calls us to do the hard things. Fighting isn't easy. I mean, just imagine the battle scenes from Lord of the Rings, Braveheart, Gladiator. You know I'm old school. But even fight scenes from Rocky or Million Dollar Baby or, you know, Cinderella Man, or, you know, if you like UFC, boxing, MMA, WWE, all those different things. And remember, as you've seen them, how messy and bloody and violent and hard, and there's death and pain, and it's not a pretty thing. I mean, and imagine an Olympic athlete who's training for the Olympics, all the things that it has to go through, the rigorous eating, the fighting to become the best runner and snowboarder or whatever, and continue in that. The image of all of this is hard. Fighting is hard. And my hope for you in all of this is that you would be confident that you were born for this very fight. This fight that you're in now, this fight of our lives, and you were born to flourish in it. And the only way to flourish is to fight. The only way for that seed to become the bloom, to become the tree, is to fight through and to fight in the process. And so that's my number one point. My number one point is born to fight. You were born to fight. And we see fighting all over the Bible. We see imagery in so many different places in the New Testament that gives us reason to believe and live out that we're meant to fight. We see it in 1 Timothy 6:12. Paul calls us to fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. To lay hold of eternal life. In verse 10, a little bit earlier, he talks about people dealing with greed and foolishness and harmful lust, which people pierce themselves through with. But then he says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. So it's easy to deal with lust and greed and selfishness, but it's harder to fight. It's hard to fight the fight of faith. There's an intensity here. There's an intensity to this life that we're meant to live. We're meant to be spiritual athletes. And I don't know how you feel about athleticism, athletics, but it's a fight. And it's hard, but we're meant to have this kind of intensity, this kind of fight. The tension we see is of faith and fighting. We have faith. We expect God to do anything he can do, but then we fight forward and do what only we can do. We fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called. When you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And this word in the Greek, it means to fight, to contend, to strive as in a contest for a prize. We see fight in the dictionary. It means a battle or a combat or a contest or a struggle. And in 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul says, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. And that word Paul uses here means to box. I love this imagery. But he also uses again this word which we just read. And these words are not flowery. These words are not dainty. They evoke these gladiator type images of battle and fight scenes like I mentioned earlier. Not pretty, not clean, not polished, but messy and bloody and painful. And that's full of resolve and effort and energy and stamina and all those things that fire you up and make you passionate and that are just out of the ordinary and not normal. Because normal's easy. But this is out of the ordinary. But what I love is that it's running to receive the prize. Verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. And again, I don't know how you feel about athletics, about jogging or running or any kind, but I used to like to run. I used to like the way it was a full body workout. Felt like I was in the best shape, that I was the most fit when I ran. But it's running. And there's a difference. And I love how he said, running aimlessly. Now there's a leisurely jogging, but then there's running to win, an Olympic race. running aimlessly or just jogging or beating the air, kind of shadow boxing like. There's such a difference between running to win a prize, but then running just to run. But then also there's a difference between punching, beating the air, and then punching a person and getting punched in the mouth by a person. There's a difference. There's a difference of intensity. There's a difference of endurance and stamina. Running is good for you. Improves your stamina. Builds endurance. Makes you stronger. It's good for your bones. It gets rid of fat, increases your rate of metabolism, increases your capacity to do work, manages high blood pressure. It's just overall heart healthy and reduces stress. So I read that and I was thinking like, yeah, I remember that in running, and I'd like to start back, but we'll see how that goes. But then there's training like an Olympian. And I was reading about Olympic athletes, people training for the Olympics. And they have to do a DNA test now to figure out the body type and the best way for them to eat, to sleep, the genes that they have that they're dealing with, just the God-given genes, and what they can do, how they can do certain things. Eat right, train right, sleep right, resting, the perseverance. And this girl that was writing this says that this commitment and sacrifice and endurance and pushing yourself with integrity, intensity. And I love what she said. She said, when your body is saying no, make the decision in your mind to say yes. And I love that so much because I feel like I experience that every day, where my body's saying no. Getting up in the morning, no, don't do it. Don't get out of bed. It's so comfortable here. And I have to literally, like this morning, I have to get up and tell myself, yes, this is what we're going to do today. We're going to get out of bed. We're going to read the Bible. And we're going to do this today. And I have to tell myself, yes, while my body's telling me no, what I love is that the struggle reminds us to look to our Savior. Because we're in the struggle. We're in the mess. We're in the fight. But it reminds us to look up. And it's in the struggle where we see the flourishing happening right before our eyes. But honestly, we have to see it with the eyes of faith. Because so often we can't see the flourishing. We can't see it happening because we know that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And He is working in a deeper way down deep in the soil that we can't even see. And so what do? We trust Him. We trust Him. And we believe that He's working even when we can't feel it. And you may not feel like you're flourishing because of the fight, because of the struggle. But it's the embracing of the fight that will create the space to flourish. And whatever fight you may be in today, and I know we all have something that we're struggling with. Some things we're struggling with every day. But just know that you have the word flourish written all over you, over your future. You can trust that God is working and keep showing up and letting Him do the flourishing work in your life. And that leads me to point number two. And I only have two today, so we're almost there. Born to flourish. You are born to flourish. And what a beautiful word that is. It's so pretty. But in the dictionary, it means to be a vigorous state, to thrive, to be in it, or it's one prime, at the height of fame, excellence, influence, to be successful, to prosper, to grow, or thrive in growth like a plant. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. And this talks about this as multidimensional flourishing. The Bible's filled with promises of blessedness. The Hebrew word for this means more than mere happiness. It means multidimensional flourishing, growth, and vibrancy in many different areas. And the definition of flourishing in the Bible in the Hebrew means to revive, to blossom, to sprout, to shoot, to become apparent, and to break out. The Greek version of this word is only used one time in the New Testament, and it's found in Philippians 4:10, where Paul says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." And this shows us to flourish means to return to a former state of being. So when God calls us to flourish, it doesn't mean to become something totally different, totally brand new. It means to revive. It means to bring back to life what and who we were meant to be. We weren't created to become something totally different. But we were created to be. We were destined to become what we were originally destined for, that God had in mind for us all along. The plant doesn't become something. So you put a seed in the ground, and what comes out isn't the opposite of what's in there. If you put a pumpkin seed in the ground, what's going to come out is a pumpkin. If you put a daisy seed in the ground, what comes out is going to be a daisy. So it's the same, but it's different. Of the same. It's a reviving of what once was. Everything that the butterfly is in the caterpillar, and the butterfly is in the caterpillar. And the whole process, that's a caterpillar. That's a butterfly. The whole process is that. It's a fresh and new life. It's what we were destined for. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." If we're truly going to flourish, we need to fight off those things that are going to keep us from growing. And we need to let in what causes us to thrive. We were meant to grow into the vibrant, vigorous lives that we were destined to live. Psalm 92:12 says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree." And that word means to bud, to sprout, to shoot. "He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish." That same word, bud, sprout, shoot. "In the courts of our God, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." And that word, flourishing, is fresh, leafy. I love the image so much. Psalm 103:15, in the King James Version, "As for man, his days are like grass and a flower of the field, so he flourisheth," flourisheth. So flourish in this passage, first of all, love how it says, "as for man." Now obviously he's speaking mankind, but let's go here for a second. He flourishes. This word actually is, in Hebrew, is masculine. And so it's proof that men can flourish. Some men have been like, oh, this is only for women. But it's proof that men can flourish. Flourish isn't just a word for women. Flourish is a word for men, for mankind. It's not just a feminine word. And this word in particular means to shine, to sparkle, to blossom, to shine, to gleam as of a crown. And that's just such a beautiful picture. I want that to describe my life. I want to be one who sparkles with joy. I want to be one who shines with Christ's love in my eyes. Another definition of flourish in the dictionary, not in the Bible, but in the dictionary, is an act or instance of brandishing, which means to shake or wave as a weapon going into battle. You know, how manly is that? You're flourishing your sword, right? You're going into battle. It's, you know, be a flourishing, and not just for women. And the second meaning here is intended to attract notice, display, to show or to exhibit, to make visible or reveal, to unfold, to open out, to spread out. And this is where flourishing is so beautiful for us in Christ. We flourish when we reflect Jesus. We are meant to be visible displays of Jesus to the world. And that leads me to this picture of the seed pack. We've got these ugly little seeds we talked about earlier. But when you look at that seed pack with the seeds on the inside of it, you really don't, you know, you don't get the picture on the front of the seed. The picture on the front of the seed pack is what it's going to become. And what's so beautiful is that in our lives, what's on the seed packet of our lives is the version of us that we were created to be, the most vibrant, vigorous person that we were meant to become, that God designed us to be. But on the other side of that, the picture on our seed pack is Jesus. Because we're meant to reflect Jesus. It's Christ revealed in me. We're found in Christ. We're saved because of Jesus. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see us, he sees Jesus. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his Son." This means the Son is the oldest among a vast family of brothers and sisters who will become just like him. We are meant to become like Christ, to be the picture, imperfect for sure, of him in this world. We can struggle through, walk through, knowing that Jesus has already gone before us and we're meant to follow. And real quickly, we're basically living from the finish line because Jesus already lived a perfect life, died a sinless death, rose from the grave. He ran to win and he won. And yes, we're running to win. We're running to win the prize, but we're living from the finish line. So from now forward, we're living from victory and we're running toward that day when we'll see Jesus face to face, where we'll see our loved ones who have gone before us face to face. But now, from here until then, we're going to grow and we're going to flourish and we're going to fight through the struggles and the heartaches and the pain and the grief and the shame and the stuff that we feel like isn't doing anything to help us flourish. Remember that it is. We're going to fight forward and we're going to allow God to do the work in us in order to flourish. And you can confidently live from the finish line, displaying God's love to a world that isn't a world that is in desperate need.